You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rain of Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you for making this show, this podcast, part of your daily routine. I know you're busy. I know you're working. I know you're trying to work out. You're trying to do all this other stuff. You got a lot of options, but a lot of you are choosing this podcast to get you through that commute, through work, through the workout. So I really appreciate that. Seriously, it means a lot. Thank you all for downloading the show on a daily basis. It's free. It's daily. You get a new show Monday through Friday, all throughout this season, postseason, free agency, all of that. I'm John Corrales. I cover this team for MassLive.com. You can follow me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John. If you're new to the program, thanks for sampling it. I hope you enjoy this. Today on the show, I'm going to get to your voicemails later on. A few voicemails talking about who takes the final shot, some rules, some interesting just kind of behind-the-scenes stuff, and the definitive, final definitive pronunciation of, and I'm intentionally pronouncing this wrong, Vincent Poirier. I'm intentionally pronouncing that wrong because later on, you have to hear this. It's, and I really appreciate this voicemail, the actual pronunciation for those of you who want to get it right. In the second segment, I'll talk a little bit about the Bucks game. This is the Wednesday show, Wednesday night. Boston Celtics play the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo is in town. We'll talk a little bit about what to expect in that game. But first, I want to start with Jason Tatum. We've been talking about Jason Tatum a lot, and part of the Jason Tatum story is why is Jason Tatum not finishing at the rim? And so I dove into the video a little bit. It's not very difficult because he's only had 24 shot attempts at the rim so far this year within the restricted area. So I looked at all 24, very simple to do. And I came up with four things that I wrote about on masslive.com. So if you go to masslive.com/Celtics, where all of the Celtics content exists, makes sense, right? Masslive.com/Celtics. There's a headline, why Jason Tatum is missing at the rim. It's a video breakdown. So I watched, part of it is like, he's shooting 47.5% basically at the rim. So really just terrible. And that partly is, some of it is just he's missing, okay? He's 10 for 21. And some of those 21 misses are just misses. People are going to miss the rim. In basketball, that happens. So there's a certain percentage of that. There are four other things that I identified here, and I think they're fundamental. And what I think is happening before I get into those four specific things is, I think at the heart of all of this is that Tatum has decided this year that I'm going to get to the rim. And I don't think that it was a stated focus for him in the past. I think he got to the rim when he could. And other times when he found resistance, that's when he settled for his mid-range jumpers. And he took a lot of mid-range jumpers. And I think this year, instead of settling, he is just trying to bull his way to the rim. So I think a lot of this stems from just Tatum saying, head down, get to the rim, and try to finish. So some of these things might actually change just as he matures as a drive first type of modern NBA player. And so the first thing that I identify in this is that he needs to be better at changing direction. And I show you the drive against Philly where he drives right against Al Horford. He puts his left shoulder down to try to bump Horford off. And he does that fairly successfully. But his momentum carries him a little bit too far. And he tries to do this wraparound. And I think in a situation like that, as I write in the piece, he needs to incorporate a jump stop, which is a very fundamental thing. So one part of Tatum's progression here is getting better at changing direction. And a simple thing like a jump stop, and I show you a Kemba thing in that piece, where you are driving as a player, and then it's like a hop. You've seen these guys do this little hop. And that little stop allows you to basically, I mean, it's a jump stop. You're stopping your momentum, and then you can just explode up, and you have more control. So step one for Jason Tatum, changing directions effectively. And I think, again, he's putting his head down so much that that's preventing him from doing that. And the next thing it's doing, he's not changing speed. And if this starts to sound familiar, it sounds like a lot of what I said about Jaylen Brown last year. A year ago, right now, I'm saying some of these similar things about Jaylen Brown. And the encouraging thing is that Jaylen Brown has kind of fixed that stuff. He's varying his speeds. He's changing directions on his way to the basket. And I think it's a nice kind of preview because Jaylen got it. And I think Tatum's actually a better overall player. He's working with the same coaching staff. I think those guys can work together. And with the coaches, I just think that there's a nice kind of example there that he can progress. And changing speeds is a big deal because any player can be fast. Lots of players are fast. And Tatum can be fast. He can put his head down and he can beat a guy to the rim. But in the example that I use, you see him against the Knicks, again driving right, and he gets kind of past Marcus Morris. He has Morris on his left hip. And when a player, an offensive player, has a defender on his hip, it just means that he is now past the player, and the defender, literally, is at his hip. And that's a point of advantage for an offensive player. Tatum can get that advantage. And he's long, and he's a smart player. So I think once he starts to recognize that he's got a player on his hip, in this example, he just tries to blow past Morris and get to the rim, and he misses. An extra dribble, slow down. If you remember in that same Philly game, Kemba Walker on Matisse Thybulle slowed down when he actually got fully past Thybulle. And then he knew that Thybulle was just charging hard behind him. And he stopped short and kind of almost jumped backwards and took advantage of that. Same type of idea here, where once you've got a guy on your hip, you can now kind of like slide past him a little bit, use that first point change of direction. Now you change your speed. And even if you still miss, you get fouled. Like, that's an opportunity. We talk about Jason Tatum needing to get to the foul line. That's the opportunity to get to the foul line right there. So change speeds, change directions, jump back a little bit, get that guy who's defending you, who's chasing you down, out of control to foul you. Now, if you miss, it doesn't even count because you're going to the free throw line. If it goes in, it's an and one. So it's like a free shot. You know, it's almost like when a defender's offsides in football and you get a free shot down the field. If it's an incomplete pass or an interception, it doesn't count. But if it's a touchdown, it counts. So I think that's the next step. So changing directions, changing speeds. The third thing I think is very simple. It's fundamental. It's just throwing some up fakes. Like, so combining all of these things, change your speed, change your direction. Now you get to the rim, you're under control. Everybody's reacting to you. Throw a fake. It's very simple. And it sounds like I'm talking to a high school player, but it's a simple throw that fake, guy goes up, get a foul, or clear some space. Tatum, I think, is just so hell-bent on trying to finish everything that he needs to he needs to now get more creative around the rim. And one of the reasons why he needs to get more creative around the rim, and one of the things that he doesn't have that Jaylen Brown has, is more explosiveness. Like, Jaylen Brown is a much more explosive, better athlete. Tatum is long, and obviously he can dunk over people. We've seen him do that before. He's not a non-athlete out there, but he just doesn't have that same explosiveness as Jaylen Brown. So he's going to be a little bit more creative around the rim. So that add an up fake to the repertoire, and he'll finish a lot of those things. And then the last thing that he needs to do around the rim is just simple recognition and passing out of bad situations. So if you really want to increase that percentage, stop taking some of those really highly contested shots, because in the example that I show against Toronto, where he drives off of a pick and roll and he clearly has his own defender on his hip, he's got Serge Ibaka in front of him, and he's got another defender to his right, Kyle Lowry, he has Grant Williams at the top of the key. Now, whether Grant takes or makes that three, or drives and kicks and starts really putting the Raptors in rotation in that particular example, it doesn't matter. Like, it just, it's the right play to make. So, in addition to all of the speed and direction and all of that stuff, recognition, seeing the play, don't put your head down and drive. Keep your head up when you drive and recognize what's happening. Recognize what passes to make. Now, in that same Toronto game later on, he made a great pass in that situation to Jaylen Brown. So I want to be sure that it's not no recognition. It just needs to be better recognition. So he has made passes out of that situation before, and so he is capable of doing these things. But those four things that I highlighted, I think, will change dramatically what Jason Tatum is doing if he incorporates just these four simple things. And look, if I see it, they've seen it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not breaking any new ground here. Like, this isn't like I'm going to hand this to Brad Stevens. He's going to go, ooh, I didn't think of that. Like, this is, they've seen all this. They know all this. He's probably already working on this. But if he does this stuff, then I think the percentages go way up. He's finishing more at the rim. More importantly, he's getting more free throws, and he's not taking the bad shots, and he's creating for his teammates. That's the next step. And frankly, if he can incorporate these things and be that effective going to the rim and still shoot a pretty good percentage from three, then he becomes an all-star player. Like, this kind of stuff, a high percentage around the rim, drawing the free throws, like, this stuff will do those two things and keep shooting the threes at a reasonable clip, not 45% like he's doing now, a regression to the mean, but somewhere between 37 to 40%, then that's all-star level Jason Tatum. So that's my take on Jason Tatum. I'm going to take a break, going to come back. Milwaukee Bucks when we come back, and how the Celtics can take advantage of the Milwaukee Bucks in the first quarter right away when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Wednesday night, the Milwaukee Bucks at 2-1 will come into Boston to face the 2-1 Boston Celtics. And it's going to be an interesting matchup where two different teams, obviously they met in the playoffs last year, but no Malcolm Brogdon for the Milwaukee Bucks. Some up and down stuff for the Bucks, obviously. They're scoring a ton of points. Like, right now, they are tied with Brooklyn with 124 points a game to start this season. They're also giving up 118. So, obviously, their point differential still at 6 points per game. And this is early, so it doesn't really matter statistically, but a positive point differential, but they're still giving up 118 points. Meanwhile, the Celtics are giving up 102 points per game and scoring 107. So before the break, I said the Celtics could possibly take advantage of the Bucks early. The Bucks are coming out at a super fast pace to start games. And obviously when they're scoring as many points as they are, 124 points per game, they're really using a lot of possessions. The one thing that I think the Celtics can do in this game is what they've been doing all season long, three games. They have been able to get into passing lanes and force a lot of turnovers. And the Celtics have an opportunity, if they can build that wall and prevent Giannis from getting all the way to the rim, if they can sag, force him to pass, and get into some of these passing lanes, the Celtics have an opportunity to come out and build a big first quarter lead. Now, big first quarter leads don't mean much because in today's NBA, you know, you can hit 3-4 threes in a row and your 20-point lead is down to single digits and you know, it's a game again. But the Celtics have an opportunity, using their swarming defense, using their speed, to build a lead by forcing turnovers. So I think that's one thing to watch in this game against the Milwaukee Bucks. The other thing to watch is the size versus speed thing, almost like against Philadelphia, but different in that, obviously, Brook Lopez and Robin Lopez, they're not Joel Embiid. And so I wouldn't be shocked, and I don't know what they're going to do. Obviously, I don't have any inside knowledge because Brad Stevens plays all of that very tight. I would not be shocked if they tried to go small and dare the Milwaukee Bucks to try to take advantage of the height. And I don't know who guards Giannis. I don't know if it's Jalen. I would guess it starts off as Jalen, but maybe it's Gordon Hayward. He gets a few shots at it. Maybe this is an opportunity. I always bring up Semi Ojeleye's name, but you just throw him at him for a few fouls, whatever. But I wonder if the Celtics dare the Milwaukee Bucks to use their size. And by that, I mean, if you throw Grant Williams in there early and go small, and Milwaukee says, oh, well, we're going to post up Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez has the mismatch. Let's go to that. Sure. Let's go to Brook Lopez in the post. And you tell Grant Williams, get low, use that low center of gravity, and don't let Brook back you down. And if he scores on you, he scores on you. Fine. But the more possessions that Brook Lopez uses, the fewer possessions Giannis Antetokounmpo uses. And I just wonder if Brad will try to bait them into that kind of game. I don't know how long it's going to work, but if it works for half a quarter or even for 3-4 minutes, that could be enough to swing the game in Boston's favor. Those are two things that I'm watching. And then from there, we'll see what happens. I think the Celtics could potentially have an advantage off of their bench. We'll see if Carson Edwards gets in and what he can do. But I'm looking to see if Brad can use that small, fast lineup and how much time Grant Williams gets. This could be a big game for Grant Williams. I mean, this could be a signature, early signature type of game for Grant. If he's out there and holding his own in a situation and the Milwaukee Bucks do bite, as much as we in Boston are enjoying what Grant Williams can get, I mean, that could be something that really gets him noticed. So a couple of things that I'm watching there for the Bucks. We'll see what Brad Stevens, if we can get any sense of what's happening. Enes Kanter is out, so there will be no go big, go strong like they did against Philly. So he's already out. Daniel Theis went through most of practice, according to Brad Stevens. So he may get the start. Whether it's him, whether it's Robert Williams, I don't know. Maybe. What the hell? What if Brad Stevens starts Grant Williams? Let's get weird with it, right? So without Cantor, I don't know. I don't know what Brad Stevens does, but Grant Williams could be. What if Grant Williams is the swing player in this game? Boy, that would be something. He's also very likely, very possibly, going to get the rookie treatment. And I can't imagine that. He's a very poised player, but at some point he's going to be looking at these games and something's got to get to him, right? Maybe not. Maybe not. So that's going to be a very interesting game. We'll see what happens. And obviously, new podcast coming up after that game to see if I'm right or what Brad Stevens did, because every time I think Brad Stevens might do something, he throws a curveball. So we'll see. Going to take a break. When we come back, your voicemails, including the absolute final definitive word on how Vincent Poirier's name is pronounced. And I'll give you a hint. It's not what I just said. It's coming up next on the Locked On Celtics podcast. It's the Locked On Celtics voicemail line, 617-221-6010. Leave a question, leave a comment, make it brief, make it fun. Here we go.
Hey, John, it's Tommy from Lynn. So last year, a moment that a lot of people remember is the game down in Florida. I believe it was in Orlando when it was the last second shot and Hayward passed it to Tatum and missed, and Kyrie kind of, you know, exploded at him otherwise. This year, who do you trust to take that shot? And maybe it's a night where Kemba isn't playing for some reason. So with Kemba out of the equation, who do you trust most?
Tommy from Lynn, thank you for the voicemail. The funny thing about this team is when you say, who do you trust to take the final shot? Well, there are actually a lot of guys that if the ball is worked around, if the Celtics are truly working in offense, or the play is called and it goes to this guy in a very natural manner, and it's not Kemba, obviously I trust Kemba. Cardiac Kemba with the final shot is never a problem. I trust Jason Tatum to take that shot. I trust Jaylen Brown to take that shot. I trust Gordon Hayward to take that shot. I really do. Like, all of those guys have proven that they can hit shots in pressure situations. I mean, Gordon Hayward's hit them for a long time. Jason Tatum, we talked about him in the beginning, I don't think anything even if he struggles, I don't think any of that stuff is nerves. I think all of those guys are guys that I would trust. You can draw a play up for a lot of guys on this team, but anybody on the perimeter, like I said, Tatum, Brown, Hayward, Smart. I don't know. Smart has this knack with the buzzer beaters. I wouldn't draw something up for Smart. And if he took one, I'd be crossing my fingers. So I guess that's not the definition of trust. But, you know, any NBA player that catches the ball and it is unfazed can hit these shots. So I'll just leave it at that. I think those guys, that's my, those are my choices. Okay, here's an interesting question from Mark.
Hey, John, it's Mark from Denver. I was wondering if you could briefly touch on the rules surrounding your player access and what you are allowed to share and what you're not allowed to share. So I just was wondering what else you could do in that same vein.
A little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff. So there's player access is available at any practice or shoot-around. The Celtics make players available to us in scrums. So they make, so they'll send Brad up for a scrum, and then we can request, like the group can request certain players, or the team can say, okay, here are players available for the scrums. I can request players one-on-one, and generally they are all accommodating this year. I haven't been told to no for a player. I mean, sometimes if there's a shoot around and then a game later, I may ask for a player at the shoot around and then get them at the game, but everybody's made available. Anytime there's a team sanctioned event, all of the players are really available. Injured players are not, they're not required to talk to the media. So anytime I share a conversation, I have my recorder with me. Sometimes a scrum is particularly interesting, and I generally share the audio from that. And the one-on-one stuff, I don't share right away on the podcast, because the one-on-one stuff is generally for stories that feature stories that I'm working on or something like that. So after the feature is published, if it's, I think, worth talking about on the podcast, I will certainly share some of that one-on-one stuff. If the feature is done and out there and popular or newsworthy, I like sharing the audio because you get to hear the inflection. Sometimes not everything the player or coach says goes into the feature. So I like sharing some of that stuff on the podcast, so you get all of it. Like, I don't like wasting quotes. You know what I mean? Like, a guy said something and some of the stuff might be interesting, whatever. So the access is there. The rules are that players are to be made available before games. If there's no shoot around, I can just make a request. I have to make a request within a reasonable amount of time. I can't just show up in the locker room and be like, hey, you know what? Let me talk to Kemba. Kemba has a pregame routine and I haven't requested it far enough in advance, you know, in like 24 hours or so. Then, you know, I don't get everything that I want at any time that I want, but the Celtics have been really, really good about player access. And as long as the request is in within a reasonable amount of time, everybody will make a reasonable effort to make that player available. So I hope that answers the question. Okay, here's the grand finale. Vincent Poirier is on the team. He's a French guy. We've called him a lot of different things. Brad Steven had called him Vincent, trying, I guess, to get that French accent down. We call him Vinny Sexpants from time to time, a former host who shall not be named, who's on a podcast now that shall not be named, called him that. And I like that. So I might say it from time to time, but Greg from Connecticut has the absolute, if you're interested, the absolute definitive way to pronounce his name. Here we go.
Hey, what's up, John? This is Greg calling from Connecticut. I have been laughing week to week as various guests have been butchering Vincent Poirier's name. And I am not a fluent French speaker, but I am an opera singer. And part of what we do is we learn how to speak and sing in other languages, using the correct dialect. So I just wanted to talk a little about his name and how to say it, and phonetically what's going on there. So the first thing when you look at it is there are only four syllables in his name, and all four syllables are said differently in French than they are in English. So the beginning of his name, his first name, has two N's, and each of those N's nasalize the preceding vowel and are also silent. So his first name is pronounced Vincent. And in English, the word Vincent, the emphasis is on the first syllable, Vin, but in this case, the emphasis is on the second syllable. So his first name is Vincent. His last name is also tricky because of the spelling. The beginning of his last name is actually making a pwa sound, P-W-A, in kind of English spelling. So the first syllable in his last name is pwa, and the R-I-E-R spelling makes a ye, so it's Poirier. So how you say his whole name is Vincent Poirier. I've been checking out Red's Army since the early 2000s, and it's cool to finally be able to call in. Thanks.
I'm probably not going to say that. I can't. I'm sorry. And I'm not saying that to be rude or anything like that, but I call him Vinny. I'll call him, you know, whatever. It's just, it's hard to get that down in a natural way while speaking English. But for those of you who want to be absolutely correct, then go for it. Just for full disclosure, the actual correct pronunciation of my last name is not Corrales. That's the Americanized version of Corrales. In Greek, it's Karalis. So just so it's not like I'm not being a hypocrite, we're in America. This is how the American version of my name, John Corrales. In Greece, I am Yannis Karalis. And that's, I'm not expecting people here to pronounce my name like that. So, and yes, by the way, Yannis, like that's my name, my first name, and Yannis Antetokounmpo. We have the same first name. But that's the correct pronunciation. If you want to do it with that French dialect or whatever, go for it. I wholly encourage it if you want to do that. But I understand if you don't. That's the podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it. Thanks to everybody who has called in on the voicemail line. I do listen to all of them. I don't play all of them. I don't have really the time to play all of them. Some of them are more comments, and I can't kind of break them down, but like, I appreciate that. I try to incorporate some of the stuff that you're saying in the voicemails into the podcast. So I'm addressing your comments or questions or whatever within the course of the podcast. So maybe I'm not directly playing them, but hopefully I'm addressing everything. So continue to call in at 617-221-6010. I hear them all. I appreciate you. Some of you have been saying some very kind things in these voicemails, which I very much appreciate. Thank you all for the words of encouragement. Seriously, thank you. All of you new listeners, if you're a new listener, again, thank you. Hope you've enjoyed this podcast enough to subscribe wherever podcasts available. However you got here, you can keep going here that same way. If you haven't done it through a subscription, wherever you get your podcasts, we exist. You could also tell a smart device when you're in your car, you can just tell your phone or smart device to play podcast Locked On Celtics, and it will do so. All of you other subscribers, 5-star rating, a good written review. I keep saying it every day, but it's super, super important. It's been great. We've been rising in the rankings. This show has been doing fantastic, and I love you all for it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep on doing it. Keep on giving those reviews and share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.